Well, welcome everybody to another edition of the internationally syndicated Last Christian Radio Show. My name is J.D. Williams here in Texas. That's Mr. David Paxton there on the left-hand side of your screen, all the way from New York.
New York?
Yeah, New York, New York. Oh, boy.
Hey, we're right in the neighborhood for Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez over here.
Oh, boy. AOC. Mm-hmm. Yeah, believe it or not, David, we're going to mention her today.
Yeah, so I figured I'd let you guys know that she's considered a clown here. I don't know. When she first got in, Amazon was about to build one of their warehouses here. Would have provided gazillion jobs.
I remember that.
Mm-hmm. And she's like, oh, no, we don't want that here. And so they're like, fine. We're out. Oh, man, everyone hates her. So she 100% got shoved in there.
All right, well, tell you what, David, go ahead and pry us into the show, and then we'll tell everybody what we're going to do today.
All right, we're going to do some fun things because it's always fun here on Last Christian because we know that Jesus is coming back soon.
Amen.
So, Father, we come before you in that name of Jesus. We thank you for our time together. We thank you that we are your ambassadors, able to preach your word, and we commit to fulfilling the Great Commission. We ask that this word would go forth and produce fruit, and we give you all the glory for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen and amen. People don't realize, you know, the kind of time that we put into shows and all that kind of stuff. You know, I mean, we're here for an hour and they think that's it. Well, no, not really. We actually were scheduled to have a individual come on today that is a member of the White House Press Corps. Mm-hmm. And at the last minute, early this morning, we were told that he would not be able to make it because he had a major interview at the White House. So, we may be that big and all that kind of stuff, but I think President Trump kind of trumped us in this particular case.
Yeah, yeah. I think he probably paid him because I know he really wanted to be on our show. And he says, look, I'll donate this quarter's salary to you if you come and talk with me.
Right. So anyway, nothing against him. And believe me, he will be on in the future for sure. We certainly did understand. But I had to scramble a little bit. And I'm going to show you guys what we're going to talk about today, and then I'll explain the reason why for it. We are going to talk mainly today about anti-Semitism. I'm going to get in for sure what the Bible has to say about this, and then maybe, just maybe, if we have time, we'll talk about Russia, Ukraine, and the Middle East. But we're going to spend the majority of time today on anti-Semitism because it's worse than you thought.
Hey, let's start with this, though.
Okay, go ahead.
It's kind of a misnomer, actually, but the way we use it, we all know how we use it today. Mm-hmm. But it actually comes from Shem. I don't know if you remember Shem.
Mm-hmm, I do.
Shem,
yes.
Ham, and Japheth, the Noah's boys. Okay, that was down that line came Haran. That was Abram's father, and all that. Mm-hmm. They were Shems, and then they were called the Hebrews or the Eberu. Eberu, there was a guy named Eber, and it was like a kind of like Amway, you know, when you got this thing, and then this group breaks off, and then this group breaks off. Remember that?
Okay.
And it was this organization is much better. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of like that, but it was actually an anti-Shemite.
Okay.
Because the Hamites and the Japhethites didn't like the Shemites because they were like, they thought they were better, you know, same stuff we got going on today.
Right.
But over time, it just morphed into, you know, coming against Israel, which obviously went down through Eber, which went down through Haran, which went down through Abraham and then Isaac, and finally Yaakov, you know, Jacob, which is Israel. But basically anyone who's a Shemite would be in like an anti-Shemite.
Okay. Yeah. I wonder where that came from.
The way
from.
We use it today is against Jews.
Okay. Okay. Well, I want to expose something really quick for those people that think they know a lot about Hamas. This came from the Telegraph, and it says that Hamas claimed that 70% of the Gaza dead are women and children is demonstrably false. So anyway, I'm just throwing that in there as an extra. In other words, Hamas lies all the time. Don't take
them. Well, that's standard. Yeah. Remember the rules. Mm-hmm. In Islam, you're required to lie to your enemy.
Mm. Yeah, that's crazy. But
yeah,
true.
It's literally written in their book. The Corcoran, the Karan, the corny, corny book.
The Comic
Quran.
Ran. Comic Ran.
That's the Comic Ran.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's literally written in her book that they must lie to non-Muslims for the sake of Allah.
Oh, boy. Yeah. That's that.
Which tells you who he's the father of lies then, right?
Yeah. There you go. Pretty good. So anyway, after we had our little deal this morning, I ran around in a panic for about 2 minutes. That's all it took. Wondering, okay, what kind of show are we going to have tonight? You know? And so, anyway,
There's no news.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. So anyway, the first thing I saw is this very first thing.
Oh, look at that.
Freelance hate, courtesy of the BBC. We'll burn Jews like Hitler did. How many times have we heard, how Trump is Hitler? How many times? Mm. A million?
Yeah. I mean, that's all they keep saying.
Yeah. The thing is that he is the most supportive president of Israel in the history of the United States. He moved the capital, he moved the embassy of the United States of America from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem. And I can't tell you how many presidents before him promised to do it and then didn't. He has been a major supporter of Israel all along, and yet he's the anti-Semite? Mm-hmm. No, not even close. So let's just start. We're going to begin here with anti-Semitism on the rise. The rise of global anti-Semitism in 2025 is severe, accelerating, and evolving. It's no longer confined to extremist fringes. It is appearing in mainstream discourse, political arenas, and educational institutions. Jewish communities worldwide feel more vulnerable than at any time since 1945, facing physical attacks, verbal harassment, online hatred, and institutional discrimination. If unchecked, experts warn that this rising tide may lead to further violence, mass immigration of Jews from certain countries, and even potential state-sanctioned discrimination in some regions within a decade. Moving on here, and I apologize that some of this writing is going to be small for some of you guys that are listening to us I'll just put it this way. Look at lastchristian.net, find your favorite video platform, go there and look at this to where you can see this all in writing. But the key anti-Semitic trends in 2025, normalization is anti-Semitic speech is increasingly tolerated under free speech defenses. And, you know, they curb Christianity, by the way, but, you know, if you're going to talk bad about Israel, that's fine. They've got no problem with that. Linkage to anti-Zionism, criticism of Israeli government policies has often crossed into blanket hatred against Jewish people worldwide. Then you have the weaponization of social media. AI-generated deep fakes and viral conspiracy theories target Jews at unprecedented levels. Platforms like Telegram and TikTok are breeding grounds for hate, and I'll add to that every other social media platform. Then you've got mainstream political incitement. Some mainstream politicians, celebrities, and influencers have either spread or refused to condemn anti-Semitism. There's an increasing fear in Jewish communities. Many Jews globally report avoiding Jewish institutions, removing, what is that word, David? Mazula or something? M-E-Z?
Now you mess it all up on me.
Anyway, they're removing all of the
mezuzah.
Mezuzahs. Okay, from doors and refraining from public expression.
You know what that is, right?
No. What is it exactly?
Well, the Bible tells you to put it on your forehead and put it on your door so you don't forget the word. So they wrap up tiny little scrolls, and they usually have the same verse in there, but they roll up and then they put it in that little wooden thing.
Okay. That's like what that is. Okay. I've always wondered what that thing was for.
Yeah,
okay.
It looks like this. Look.
Yeah, I've seen those things. Hold on. I'll get it over here where you can. There you go. Okay. Yeah.
This is a mezuzah. So inside of here is a scripture.
Okay.
Okay. And so you put it in the back. And then you put it to your door, and then they typically will kiss it on the way in.
Okay.
Remember it. That's kind of their ritual. But you put it on your doorpost.
Okay. Well, I had I really had no idea. I haven't, you know, I'm not up to speed on a lot of that. I'm going to look at the, got some additional facts for you here. Over 25% of Jews in the U.S. now conceal their Jewish identity in public. That's according to the Pew Research of 2024. The United Nations internal whistleblowers have alleged institutional anti-Semitism in several UN bodies related to Israel-Palestinian affairs. At least seven Jewish universities worldwide reported cyber attacks tied to foreign governments in 2024. Iran funds anti-Semitic propaganda networks operating not just in the Middle East, but in Latin America and Africa. And then you got Germany's police in 2025 recorded that over half of the anti-Semitic hate crimes had radical Islamic origins, while 30% were right-wing extremists. And yeah, there are some right-wing folks out there that, you know, that we're talking about extreme right, not Christian, that's not right.
They're claiming to be right wing, but they're not.
Right. They're the true Nazis. Mm-hmm. So what do you think of all
Which started with the Democratic Party.
By the way. we're about to get into that. But I want you to get to a comment on what I just have read here. Just your opening thoughts.
Yeah, I got to do that.
Yes, you do.
Ah, here's my thought. is don't come to Brooklyn and try that. Because there is an inordinate number of Jews, and they're in one particular section, they're all Hasidic, and they're not worried at all about what you think or whether you're unalived or not. you know, and they'll find you. Just be aware. So the 25% are that there's so many different types, if you would. Matter of fact, there's so many people that are Jewish and don't even realize it, because of the, you know, the 12 different tribes, obviously, and then, you know, the infiltration worldwide of different, like Sephardic Jews. If you're Latin, you're most likely partly Jewish. Mm-hmm. If you're Latin American, and but there's certain groups over there. You have the what we call the wealthy Jew section, and they're more business people and things like that. Then you have the Hasidic ones, and they literally all wore the exact same clothes. Okay? Yeah, and you know what they look like with the black hat. And when they're playing Little League, the kids are wearing the same clothes: black shoes, the black pants, the white button-down shirts, the hats, the curlicues, the whole nine yards. Mm-hmm. And then, but so there's different sections around there as well. And for the most part, they're all good people just looking to live their lives according to what they think is right. So when anyone comes in and tries to mess that up, they tend to run into issues.
Yeah, I can imagine.
There. But then there's also the ones around that are scared. Hey, I'm just of a Jewish heritage, and they're not really religious or anything. Or some to the as far as religious as we think of Catholic. Oh, well, I was just born a Catholic, so I show up at Mass once in a while. That type too. Those are the ones that are willing to say, "Nah, I'm not Jewish." Mm-hmm. But if they really are, there's some that are still listen. We've been persecuted for thousands of years. What makes
there you go
change anything?
Yeah,
and they're like, "Well, if you're going to kill me, you're going to kill me," and then you know, Hashem will protect me.
Well, you know, you live in an area where, you know, like I've said before, New York is the true melting pot of the United States. I mean, you know, you got everybody there. So I think probably a lot of this applies more to people outside of at least New York City than does there in the city itself. But I want to show you this, David, because you've already alluded to it once. These are American politicians with anti-Israel positions as of 2025. Now, the following U.S. politicians have consistently expressed anti-Israel views, supporting this Boycotts Against Israel, the BDS. And I, for the life of me, David, I can't remember. I know one is boycott, and what's the other one?
Diversified strategy, something like that.
Yeah. you got Ilhan Omar, Democrat out of Maine. She's a BDS supporter. She's called Israel an apartheid regime. Representative Rashid Tlaib, Democrat.
Mm-hmm. Well, both of them were imported Muslims, by the way.
Yeah. She advocates for one state solution. In other words, Israel no longer exists. Then you got AOC, Democrat, New York. She's accused Israel of human rights abuses and pushed to block U.S. arms sales. Then you've got Representative Cori Bush, Democrat, Missouri, repeatedly calls Israel a violent apartheid state. Then you have Representative Jamal Bowman, Democrat, voted against Iron Dome funding, increasingly critical of Israel. Then you got Senator Bernie Sanders, independent, former Democrat and Jew, supports conditioning U.S. military aid, harshly criticizes Israel. Then you have Senator Elizabeth Warren, Democrat. Pocahontas also calls for limiting U.S. support based on Israeli settlement. And you have Representative Betty McCollum, Democrat, introduced legislation to restrict U.S. aid to Israel over Palestinian issues. And continuing on, former politicians and presidential candidates, former Representative Keith Ellison, Democrat of Minnesota, now the Attorney General of Minnesota, his past associations with anti-Israel activists, criticized Israel actions repeatedly. Former President Barack Hussein Obama, Democrat out of Illinois, has oversaw a significant cooling of U.S.-Israeli relations, authorized U.S. abstention at the UN on a 2016 resolution condemning Israel settlements, criticized Netanyahu and Israel settlement policy openly. Former Representative Cynthia McKinney, Democrat, out of Georgia, extreme anti-Israel positions associated with radical pro-Palestinian organizations. So now, if you noticed, because I emphasized it, Democrat, you have any comments there? And I'm not trying to be political. I'm just telling you the truth. Yeah, these are the Democrats that are doing it. Go ahead.
Wait, is it? Well, the Democrats started with the Ku Klux Klan back in the day.
They did.
And you know, democracy means mob rule. We know that. And you know, the United States is not a democracy, and that's what Democrat means. They just want to mob rule. Mm-hmm. So they take all this stuff. And you know what? It's just baffling to me that time after time after time, these things fail and people don't want it. Yet they take the lunatic bunch and they're like, yay, we're going to win. And they got this bunch of freaks. And this is what they're going after. Now, they just lost everything in a landslide and they still had to push everything in.
Well, they don't know what else to do.
But they hang on to this. It's like you would think, you know, maybe I'm wrong.
Yeah.
let me just take a double check at this and see if I'm wrong. But no, they hang on to it. Mm-hmm. And there's a reason for that, is because they are literally being paid.
Right.
They have all that slush fund money, and there's evil powers that be. Mm-hmm. And it starts way at the top with the principalities and powers. And we talk about this a lot, that it doesn't start with the people. The principalities and powers, they are terrified because Jesus is coming back soon.
Amen.
They're terrified that he's going to rule over the whole planet. So what they do, these spirits, if you would, the principalities and powers, will talk certain high-level people or move them to high-level positions, if you could. But they say, oh, do this and do this and do this, and then convince them that they're going to be the leaders in this new world that they're forming. Mm-hmm. So they're all, you know, they're all lustful about this money and power. And then they, in turn, just tell everyone else, and then they get the money, and then they pen them, and it just goes down the line. It weakens as it goes all the way down to the weak-minded people that just follow and do whatever they say.
Well, they don't keep up with the news. They don't keep up with current events. They have no idea what's going on.
They just believe the lie, but the lie comes from the top. Because I mean, any thinking person would just say, "What's going on here? What is wrong with you?"
Right, exactly.
But they decided that they're going to be their own God. So God's like, okay, have at it. Gives them over to their delusions. And here we are.
Yeah. All right, well, let's look at this one, David. These are political movements and affiliations. Democratic Socialists of America, the DSA, the organization explicitly endorses this BDS. Several politicians affiliated with DSA, including Rashid Tlaib and Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, better known as AOC, are critical of Israel. Then you got the Justice Democrats. It's a political group supporting progressive candidates, often backing those critical of Israel. Now, special observation. Anti-Israel sentiment has become more normalized on the progressive left, especially among younger Democratic politicians. Opposition to specific Israeli government policies is increasingly morphing into opposition to Israel's existence as a Jewish state in rhetoric. BDS support is a common line. Most politicians listed have either explicitly or implicitly support boycotting Israel. And then you've got language shifts. Terms like apartheid, settler colonization, genocide are used regularly against Israel now in American political debates. And I'm hearing a lot more of this. Are you hearing that in New York? Is it as prevalent there?
Yeah, it's just they continually say something over and over and over to try and get it to mean something. It's called witchcraft, actually.
Okay.
When
okay.
you're manipulating language and using it, you know, we always think of that, you know, the witch, oh, bubble, boil in trouble.
Mm-hmm,
and
mm-hmm.
and it's a casting a spell.
Mm-hmm.
And what most people don't realize that spells are actually real and mm-hmm. but they're using it on the dark side, if you would. They're using yeah. it on the evil side. Because the entire universe was created by words.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. The entire universe mm-hmm. is run by words.
Amen.
Okay. Your mm-hmm. DNA is one big old sentence, 3.2 billion letters long. Mm-hmm. It's all a bunch of words in digital form that show mm-hmm. that say, okay, this is what you're going to look like. And when we do, even in our legal system, if you don't have a contract written out and the words are specific, the words mean everything. Mm-hmm. And they realize that. So they're yeah. trying to redefine some of these words and use it as weapons. Okay. And that's called witchcraft, is when you yeah. use words for weapons like that.
Right. Okay. Let's look at the next one here. This is religious groups that are critical or often anti-Israel altogether. You've got your progressive mainline Protestants. This is groups like the United Church of Christ, the UCC, the Presbyterian Church USA, the PCUSA, and some branches of the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, the ELCA. These groups accuse Israel of apartheid against the Palestinians. Some voted to divest. That's what that D is before, by the way. Divest.
Boycott, divestment, and sanctions.
Yeah, from companies doing business in Israel, heavy focus on Palestinian suffering without the equivalent focus on Israeli security needs. Then you got the liberal reform Jews. There's mixed here. Many are deeply supportive of Israel, but younger reform Jews increasingly criticize Israeli government policies. Some reform Jew leaders publicly support Palestinian causes and criticize Israeli military actions. And then others support Israel's among young liberal Jews has declined sharply, according to the Pew Research poll of 2024. Then, of course, Muslim Americans, this one's kind of expected. Majority of them are critical of Israel. You've got advocacy groups like CARE, that's the Council on American-Islamic Relations. They frequently denounce Israel policies, and many Muslim American organizations side with the Palestinian cause and accuse Israel of ethnic cleansing and apartheid. Just, you know, once again, the same thing there. But anyway, what do you have to say about that, especially the fact, David, that we're talking about some Jewish groups now, Jews opposing Jews? I just don't get it.
You know what's funny is they've done that all through history. There was so
really?
Many.
Okay.
I mean, yeah, like when remember Nebi? So Nebi yeah. took a bunch mm-hmm. of them, yeah. and then Tyrus sent them all back. Hey, here's some money. Go back and build it. Mm-hmm. And only 50,000 went back to Jerusalem because they were just living their life over in Babylon and mm-hmm. like, no, this is pretty cool. We'll just stay over here. And so the ironic part is so many that are in those Muslim nations are actually Jews.
yeah. Mm-hmm.
They just kind of integrated with society over there. Yeah. And well, we're going to see that all through history. God always says that the road is narrow, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
He says it's very narrow, and the word narrow that he uses, I think it's in Matthew. He says it's not just like narrow. We think skinny. The word means narrow and bent, and like with craggly rocks all around, and really hard to navigate and climb through.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Well, now I had never thought of. I mean, the way I always looked at it is, you know, you got this massive highway on one side, which is everybody going the wrong direction, and then you got this little bitty pathway, but it's straight, going straight to heaven. I mean, that's how I always envisioned it. So you're putting a whole different paint on there for me.
Yeah, in the Greek, it specifically says that. You can look it up. And then it's really hard. But the other one is a wide open plain that's easy. It's not even just like a road. It says it's just a wide open, you could go any which way you want.
Yeah, okay.
It's really easy to move in any direction because it's just a big old and flat, you know, like the flurfs. Mm-hmm. It's just a big old flat plain and really easy to get across. And that he says that's what it's like. And that tells me it's going to be extremely narrow.
Yeah.
To people. Cause I can guarantee you that not everybody that goes to church is going to heaven.
Oh no. There's going to be a lot of churches open the Sunday after the rapture too. I guarantee you that.
It will happen. I guess the aliens took them. Mm-hmm. And then, and verse vice, there's going to be so many people that aren't in the church that will be saved, actually. And they don't like the church and what it's become. And I don't really blame them. For the most part, it's hard to find a good church.
You know? It is. Yeah, I'm having that battle here in East Texas. Now, we've got a lot more. Y'all might think we're done, but we got a lot more because all I focused on here in the first half of the show is in the United States. I'm going to show you how it really gets bad when we get outside the United States. But I'm also going to show you some good stuff, too. We never want to downplay the good that's going on and just focus on the bad. But you need to know the bad in order to where you can get on the good side. I mean, that's how I look at it. Go ahead, Davis. Take us out the last 20 seconds.
You got to compare them. So, you know, we're here to find some of those people that are going on a narrow path. God will separate the wheat and the tares, and that's coming real soon. Lord willing, we'll see you in the rapture, and Lord willing, we'll see you in the second half of this show. We'll be back in a minute. Bye.
Imagine a world where faith is fading, where the name of Jesus is rarely spoken. Now more than ever, the message of salvation simply must be shared. At The Last Christian, we are committed to spreading the gospel and preparing hearts for Christ's return. Through our radio shows, Bible teachings, interviews, devotionals, and prayer requests, we reach people across the globe with the truth of God's Word. Your support helps us to continue this vital mission. And as a token of our appreciation, we have special gifts waiting just for you, including exclusive resources designed to strengthen your faith and equip you to share the good news. Visit lastchristian.net today and learn more. Join us, pray with us, and be part of this incredible journey to bring hope to the world. Together, as Christians, we will share the invitation of eternal salvation around the world.
In a world where two kingdoms collide, understanding is key. Join us every Wednesday morning at 10 a.m. Eastern, 9 a.m. Central for the C2K Report with hosts Rick Hidalgo and Randy Conway. Discover how to establish your house as an embassy of Christ and navigate the clash of two kingdoms. Learn practical steps towards self-governance, from authentication to setting up your house, and access a wealth of resources in our document library at c2kreport.com. Empower yourself with knowledge and take control of your spiritual and earthly journey. And don't forget to check out shopyourfarm.com, a virtual farmer's market connecting you with quality, faith-based products and services. For more information about the C2K Report, be sure to visit c2kreport.com and shopyourfarm.com.
KRRB Grand Saline, Canton, Mineola, Texas. Ready to start your day on a new level? Meet Everyday Dose, the coffee alternative that's more than just a caffeine fix. Check out more and grab your first dose at everydaydose.com/hiddenday. Why it's different. Everyday Dose combines premium coffee with brain-boosting ingredients like mushrooms and collagen, giving you focus, energy, and mental clarity without the jitters or crashes. It's the clean energy your body craves. Check out these benefits you'll love. Say goodbye to coffee crashes. Boost your mental clarity and focus. Support your immune system and overall wellness. Feel energized naturally without the anxiety or jitters. Perfect for busy professionals, health enthusiasts, or anyone ready to upgrade their daily routine. Again, that's everydaydose.com/hiddenday.
And welcome back, everybody, to the second half of Last Christian. Again, I'm J.D. Williams here in Texas. It's Mr. David Paxton there in New York. And David, you said you wanted to say something right off top, so I'm going to turn it right over to you.
Yeah, we were talking about the narrow road, just before the end of the second half. And Lord is good. We're here on the second half now. So I'm kind of looking forward to it because... You know, you think about it, all this craziness that's going on and all these people that follow their delusions, and here we are stuck in this. Isn't it going to be nice that day when every day you wake up and you know everyone outside is praising the Lord? Mm-hmm. And then you're going to go down and have some coffee with your friends who are going to praise the Lord, and you're going to talk about good, positive things. And it's going to be, hey, what did you learn today? And, oh, wow, look what the Lord has done today. Mm-hmm. And look. Let's just go give him glory.
I just can't even imagine.
Instead of all this nonsense.
I mean, that's the perfect song. You know, this group I love, Mercy Me. And they're, you know, I can only imagine. Every time I hear that song, you know, it makes me wonder, you know. We really have no idea. It's going to be so good. It's just going to be so good. That's the only way I can describe it.
Yeah. And so many of our listeners here that are coming with us, and hopefully we were the catalyst for you to come too. So if we don't meet you on this side, we'll meet you on the other side, and that'll be great.
Amen.
In the air or on the air.
Yeah. There's even a place on our Last Christian site. If you guys want, there's a place there where you can let us know that you're on your journey. Maybe you started with us, whatever. We'd love to hear from you. You can do that anytime. I want to follow up with you, David, real quick. We'd look at some of these religious groups in the United States and where they stand on Israel. Now, these are religious groups here are generally pro-Israel. Evangelical Christians, I count myself as one of those, strongest pro-Israel group in the United States. See the modern state of Israel as a fulfillment of biblical prophecy, Genesis 12:3, Ezekiel 37. Organizations like Christians United for Israel, or CUFI, have millions of members, consistent political advocacy for Israel's sovereignty, self-defense, and recognition of Jerusalem as Israel's capital. Then Orthodox Jews, conservative Jews, then you got the mainline Protestants, at least some of them, denominations like the Southern Baptist and Missouri Synod Lutherans have historically affirmed Israel's right to exist and defend itself. And even Catholics, traditional and conservative, moderately pro-Israel, but more cautious politically. You've got conservative U.S. Catholics are usually supportive of Israel, especially regarding religious freedom and terrorism concerns. And then the Vatican recognizes Israel diplomatically, at least since 1993. And the late Pope Francis made visits supporting peaceful coexistence. I'm not a big fan of him. I think he did more damage than good to the Catholic Church. That's just my personal opinion. I don't know.
Yeah, he's sneaking in for a nefarious purpose.
Yeah.
Well, not anymore, but.
Yeah, not anymore. Now, the noticeably absent groups from this anti-Semitism are the Republican Party. Almost across the board, it remains staunchly pro-Israel. Most moderate Democrats, though sometimes critical of individual Israeli policies, strongly oppose this BDS and still support Israel's right to self-defense. Now, some politicians say they are anti-Netanyahu or anti-government policy rather than anti-Israel, but critics argue that repeated one-sided attacks and support for BDS often cross into de facto anti-Israel behavior that erodes support for Israel's existence and self-defense. Got any comment on any of that, David?
You know what surprised me the most is the United Church of Christ.
Me too. When I first got it. Mm-hmm.
I'm like, because I know some of those people, and I guess I never really had that topic of discussion.
Yeah. Well, I've got an aunt that, now I don't know, I guess they've got different versions of the Catholic, or not Catholic, the different Church versions of the Church of Christ. And
yeah, they have to. Yeah.
You know, I don't think she's anti-Israel. I really don't.
And I got, on our Thursday night studies, we have a wonderful woman on there, Marcy, who's, you know, full-fledged Jew, now born again, very, very helpful to our study, just from her insight into all things Jewish. Mm-hmm. And she goes to a Bible study at a Church of Christ. She doesn't go to the church, but she goes to the Bible study every
week. I have never been to a Church of Christ. Nothing against them. You know, I've just never been one. So maybe I should go sometime.
Yeah, it's probably different versions of it, because I can't. That's why it shocked me. I was like, wait,
I want to get into now. I told you this, you know, we were only talking about the United States, but this is global. Anti-Semitism, the hostility, prejudice, or discrimination against Jewish people is at its highest level globally since World War II, according to multiple organizations such as the Anti-Defamation League, the European Union Agency for Fundamental Rights, and Amnesty International. In 2025, the worldwide explosion of anti-Semitism is fueled by armed conflicts, especially involving Israel, social media disinformation and conspiracy theories, political instability, growing influence of radical ideologies, both far right and far left, anti-Zionism crossing over into blatant anti-Semitism, traditional religious and racial prejudices. And let's see here, the regional breakdown was certainly United States. Reported incidents rose over 350% from 2022 to 2024, with violent assaults doubling in major cities like New York, Los Angeles, Miami, and Chicago. Synagogue attacks, there were more than 30 planned or attempted attacks on synagogues and Jewish centers in 2024 alone. College campuses, Jewish students are facing rising harassment at elite universities like Columbia, Harvard, and Stanford, often under the guise of anti-Israel protests. Social media, Jewish public figures face constant online abuse. Terms like globalist and Zionist control are used as coded language for anti-Semitism. Notable events here: bomb threats called into dozens of Jewish community centers nationwide, rise of anti-Semitic rhetoric by some political activists on both ends of the spectrum, Jewish-owned businesses being vandalized in certain protests, and that's pretty common too. So what are your comments on that one, David?
Yeah, I mean, we're going to see it rise in the end, and it has to do with this. You know, Satan can't just go around and just kill them all themselves. He has to get everybody brainwashed into it, because they have no physical ability. All they could do is, you know, could control people and their thoughts and their minds. Mm-hmm. You know, and then what happens is now he knows that the Jews, according to Zechariah, there'll be 2/3 of them will actually be destroyed, but then there's a third that will be left. Mm-hmm. So when Jesus said during the chicken event, you will not see me again until you say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. That was Satan's trigger to say, oh, they're going to repent eventually. So he's been trying to get rid of them ever since. Scattered them around the world. He persecuted them all over the place.
Yeah.
We got, you know, now we're getting near the end in the 1900s. So he pulls up Hitler, tries to annihilate them all then. Mm-hmm. He's going to try it again now, because in his mind, if he can get rid of the Jews, then the prophecy can't come true and he can take over and own all of creation. Mm-hmm. Now, we know it's not going to happen, because Jesus always lets things go till that very last second. Surprise!
Yeah. He closes the door on them real hard.
Yeah, but now you've been caught red-handed, mm-hmm. and that's that's really the purpose of it, because you need to be caught red-handed to properly adjudicate. You can't prosecute someone like the thought police, remember? So they have to be caught red-handed, and so he's going to have to do these things. But that's what he's trying to do. He's trying to get the whole world convinced that the Jews can't be here. This way, the prophecy can't come true, and he can take over.
Right. All right. Let's look at the United Kingdom, 2024 through 2025 so far, seen a record anti-Semitic hate crimes, according to the Community Security Trust. Anti-Semitism in politics persist. Allegations of institutional bias against Jews continue within certain political parties. Jewish schools require armed security. In other of the European Union nations, Belgium, Jewish cemeteries are being desecrated, menorahs vandalized. In Spain, you've got a surge in anti-Semitic rallies tied to anti-Israel protests. Poland has a mixed picture. Officials' efforts to combat anti-Semitism with cultural anti-Semitism remains deep-seated. In Russia and Eastern Europe, you got state-controlled media often propagate anti-Semitic conspiracy theories. Putin's government uses accusations of Jewish oligarchs to inflame populist sentiment. Jewish communities in the Ukraine face dual threats from war and anti-Semitic militia elements. Hungary and other, Visegrad countries, anti-Semitism mostly tied to nationalist political movements. In Israel itself, Israel is a safe haven, but Israelis experience anti-Semitism internationally when traveling or studying abroad. Israeli embassies have been increasingly targeted, bomb threats in seven countries since 2024. International organizations like the UN Human Rights Council face accusations of anti-Semitic bias against Israel. Then, of course, in the Middle East, you've got government-sponsored anti-Semitism. State media in countries like Iran, Syria, and Yemen push conspiracy theories blaming Jews for wars, diseases, and global unrest. Jewish communities are almost non-existent in Arab countries except Morocco, which is relatively good. Then in Latin America, Argentina is home to a large Jewish community, has ongoing issues, including threats from Hezbollah-backed groups. And in Brazil and Chile, anti-Semitism often manifests online through anti-Zionist political movements. Do any of those countries or issues surprise you?
Not really. I mean, it's going to be everybody at one point, except for the remnant of saved people. The only ones I would suspect are the ones that are open. So if you're a Christian and anti-Semitic, I'm kind of question your Christianity.
Yeah, you can't be.
You not believe the Bible? Mm-hmm. You not believe God when he put Abraham to sleep and said, I make this covenant and there's no one's going to break it. But all of a sudden they could break it? God's a liar? What happened?
That's that wide road, David. Or the wide open spaces, whatever you want to call it, you know.
And then the people will say, oh, but Lord, didn't we cast out demons in your name? And didn't we do this? And didn't we do that? And he's like, I never knew you.
Yeah, right.
You know? Yeah. It's a problem.
I don't want to be on that big road. I got no interest in it at all. But look here, going on here, when South Africa has got rising anti-Semitism and political rhetoric, especially from hardline anti-Israel movements, and in many African countries, Jewish communities are very small, but anti-Semitic tropes about wealth and power persist. I'm not even sure what a trope is. You're going to have to tell me that one.
People spitting out garbage out of their mouth.
Okay. All right. That makes sense. Then Asia Pacific, you got Australia. Australia's gone really, really left here recently. You got a significant rise in anti-Semitic graffiti and threats against Jewish schools. And remember, we had those doctors.
You know what else is weird about Australia?
What's that?
I see the majority, like a vast majority of flurfs are from Australia.
Really?
You think they were the ones that would know better because they can see, it's the Southern Cross Cygnus and all the different constellations down there where you can't see in the Northern Hemisphere. But that's weird. I don't know. Must be the kangaroos or something. I don't know.
Well, if you remember those doctors, there was a doctor and a nurse that said, you know, anybody comes to their hospital, they're going to kill them. We had that on the show not too long ago. I don't know what's up with them. Then Japan and South Korea, generally low anti-Semitism, but conspiracy theories occasionally spread online. And then in China, increasingly use anti-Semitic memes and conspiracy theories online, especially concerning Western influence. That does not surprise me at all. Mm-hmm. Now, in summary here, let's just look at this real quick. You got age and political ideology influence religious support for Israel. If you're older, conservative religious believers, especially evangelicals and Orthodox Jews, are overwhelmingly pro-Israel, while the younger progressive religious believers, especially in mainline Protestant and Reform Jewish circles, are increasingly anti-Israel or critical of them. Pro-Palestinian positions in religious groups are rising, even when explicitly anti-Israel, but the line is often blurred in rhetoric and activism. And if you look at the summary chart, and again, we encourage you to go to lastchristian.net where you can actually see the chart. You'll see that the different groups there, evangelical Christians, Orthodox Jews, conservative Jews, Catholic conservatives, Reform Jews, mainline Protestants or progressives, Muslim Americans, and non-denominational Christians. It's got their general positions for each one. I'm not gonna get into every single one of those. But do you have any other comments on this, David? Because that's your anti-Semitism pretty much wrapped up right there.
Yeah, that's it. It's pretty much wrapped up. And but God said we'd see that in the end of the days. So here we are. And it's just going to get worse until he shows up. So don't try and think you're going to make it better. It's not going to happen.
Well, I wanted to throw some Bible in here today. So we got Zechariah 12, 2 and 3. It says, "Behold, I'll make Jerusalem a cup of drunkenness to all the surrounding peoples when they lay siege against Judah and Jerusalem. And it shall happen in that day that I will make Jerusalem a very heavy stone for all peoples. All who would heave it away will surely be cut to pieces, though all nations of the earth are gathered against it." Now, this means in the end times, the nations of the world will turn against Jerusalem and Israel, like now, showing widespread hostility, a prophetic picture of global anti-Semitism. You look at Matthew 24:9, "Then they will deliver you up to tribulation and kill you, and you'll be hated by all nations for my name's sake." Again, here Jesus is warning his Jewish disciples. I want to make that really clear, his Jewish disciples, because he's talking to the Jews in this, and by extension Israel, that they will be hated worldwide, often understood as a prophecy of growing anti-Semitism during the tribulation period. Do you agree or disagree with that, David?
Yeah, it'll boil up to that. And what most people don't think, that they see, oh, I saw this earthquake back then, and so now the tribulation is upon us. They saw that like in the year 1000. They all like sold everything they had and then waited on the mountain in Jerusalem. It didn't happen then.
It's kind of like what was it, 2000 too, remember? You know,
Y2K, it was on there. The guy to write "It Is Well With My Soul," he actually, after his wife and daughter drowned at sea, he moved to Jerusalem because he was waiting for the rapture. All the Templars, the original ones, not the Masons of today. Now this was hijacked, but back then they were all buried, and their faces, they were supposed to face towards Jerusalem when they were buried when the rapture happened. So everyone knew about the rapture long before Darby, so don't even start. I gotta wipe the floor with your argument there. the basics of it is, when they see the end coming, it's just going to get worse and worse and worse. Right. And now we're seeing all the signs, like birth pains. You can have a birth pain early on at 6 months, but it's just twisting and this and that and the other. But when you start seeing them, they're coming closer together. Now all of them are starting to happen at the same time. They're getting more intense.
Yes.
That's the birth pains.
Yes.
It's increased in intensity, increase in numbers, and increase in all of them coinciding together. So it's not just one of these signs, it's when they all happen together. And we're starting to see one of those final ones is that they're going to be persecuted by all nations.
And that
so here
looks,
we are.
Yeah, that looks like what's happening. You know, if you followed us through the show, then you see it. It's worldwide. So put up some more Bible here. Revelation 12:13. It says, "Now when the dragon saw that he'd been cast to the earth, he persecuted the woman who gave birth to the male child." Now, you'll have to tell me if you agree with this or not, but the meaning, that, as I understand it, is that the woman is widely interpreted as Israel in Revelation 12, 1 through 2, or 1 and 2 imagery. Satan, being the dragon, pursues and persecutes Israel in the final days with particular fury. And then Daniel 7, 21, "I was watching, and the same horn was making war against the saints and prevailing against them." The little horn, understood as the Antichrist, makes war against the saints, a term that includes faithful Jews during the tribulation period, suggesting an intense wave of persecution. Do you, what is your take on that, David? I don't know if that was clear enough for me even.
Yeah, they're big one. In Revelation 12, it basically talks about the woman. Now, remember, John is on Patmos, and it's dark. Right. There's no lights right. there. He's in a prison, and all he's doing, he's looking at the stars, and then God starts speaking to him through the stars. And that's precisely what he sees. Virgo, the virgin, is the woman. You got the king planet. They didn't call it Jupiter back then. It was a king planet, and basically it did this retrograde for 9 months inside the virgin and then came out, and then you could see... she had the crown of stars, and there's a crown that they call it a crown, literally. And the sun was at her feet, the moon was at her head. So this all lined up, and he's like, "Oh, that's telling the story. That's the Matzaroth." Mm-hmm. Okay, and yeah, it is Israel, because Joseph in Genesis alluded to this. He says the sun and the moon and the 11 stars will bow down to me. So it was definitely Israel. Some people through time have said, "Oh, that's the church." Well, there's a problem, because the church was supposed to be a virgin. Why does she have a baby?
right.
Okay. But Israel, because she was impregnated by God, she was the virgin. Mm-hmm. So that makes more sense now.
Yeah.
That the virgin had the baby, and that was Israel. And then there are those who also surmise that it's not only a representation of Jesus when he was caught up. He said, "I'm coming back the same way." So it's also a representation of the rapture, that they've been caught up before the dragon came down, and then the Jews had to scatter.
Okay. And I've got one more for you here. Joel 3:2. I will also gather all nations and bring them down to the valley of Jehoshaphat, and I will enter into judgment with them there on account of my people, my heritage, Israel, whom they have scattered among the nations. They have also divided up my land. Now here God is accusing the nations of scattering Israel and dividing up the land. It's a powerful prophecy of judgment on nations for their anti-Semitic actions in the final days. Now I want to give you guys, I call this the Bible homework, because this is some stuff that you can look at. Zechariah 12, 2 and 3, Matthew 24, 9, Revelation 12, 13, Daniel 7, 21, Joel 3, 2, Psalm 83, 2 through 4, Ezekiel 38, 8 and 9, Zechariah 14, 2, Jeremiah 30, verse 7, and Revelation 13, verse 7. We don't have time to get into all of them, and that's the reason I'm giving you some homework to do. If you know, again, just kind of pause it, go and look at these scriptures, and you'll see. And what we're pointing out here is anti-Semitism all over the world. Now, before we run out of time, I want to get a couple of these things in real quick, because I think it's important news-wise. Number one, the United States is pounding the Houthis in Yemen. And there was an individual there, it looked like he was probably on his back porch, I'm going to think. And he's seeing some of the stuff that's going on there. Just take a look at this real quick. If it'll play. Maybe it will, maybe it won't. There we go. I have no idea what he's saying, so I hope he's not cussing. But it wouldn't surprise me if I saw that out of my back window. That would be a little bit worrisome. That looks pretty close to me.
Mm-hmm. You mean like jumping Jehoshaphat?
Now, the other one I want to show is Prime Minister Netanyahu, because right now Iran is in talks with the United States about their nuclear program. And some are believing that Netanyahu will just go along with whatever they come up with. Well, maybe, maybe not. Let's get this.
The reason Iran doesn't have nuclear weapons is because successive governments under my prime ministership have led successive actions, which I won't discuss here with the same, forgive me, with the same detail over the years. And that set them back about 10 years from where they thought they'd be. 10 years ago, they already thought they'd have a nuclear arsenal. They don't. But we delayed them, but we didn't stop them.
We delayed them, but we didn't stop them. Now he wants to stop them. That's really the point of what he was making, what he was saying there. This is one of those things where we just wonder, okay, and ask the question. Do you think Israel is going to strike the Iranian nuclear works there in Iran, or is it going to be where the United States somehow prevents them from doing it, which leads to something else? I mean, I know this is all speculation, David. Nobody's holding you to it.
Yeah, like as if I know their plan.
Right.
I would guess they're going to do the thing that they've always done, mm-hmm. and that is to not just blow it up, because that's going to kill a lot of people, mm-hmm. you know?
Yeah.
And it's going to put nuclear waste all over the place, but they're going to do something like they did with the little spinners, and they'll have something. Hey, listen, I'm going to do this with the pagers, because it's only the terrorists that are going to get
right.
hurt. They had their parade last week. I don't know if you saw it, the parade of all the people that got maimed by the pagers.
Oh, no, I missed that. Like,
oh, look what Israel did to us. Yeah, well, they shouldn't have had the pager. So I think they're going to do something like that. It's going to be something really creative, and then we're going to be able to talk about it on the show.
Yeah. I think that's a safe bet, because I just don't see, I don't see Israel saying, well, just do whatever you want to do. I don't see that. And, you were talking about the centrifuges, they put them on a major spin cycle. I can see them doing something like that again, because they've infiltrated deep into Iran. Iran doesn't even know who's on their side and who's not. And that's opinion, but that's my opinion. I'm sticking to it.
Mm-hmm.
All right, David, we only got like a little over a minute here. So I'll let you close the show with an appeal to those people out there who hadn't accepted Jesus yet.
Like a banana peel. Yeah. And there's so many things, but I think some of the ones are like what are we talking about today is the hatred of Israel.
Mm-hmm.
That's one of the major things that is points to the end of the age.
Amen.
And supposedly this Pope prophecy too, and this was the last one. Mm-hmm. And I haven't heard anything about a new one. Except,
not yet. Not yet.
Father Guido Sarducci, maybe he'll be in there. That's interesting, but that's not a Bible prophecy. That was like St. Malachi, but he was remarkably close all these years.
Mm-hmm.
But again, it's like Satan to do that. Come really close, but not complete.
Right, right.
But the point is, with all the earthquakes that are going on and all this political unrest and everything that's going on in the world, even Europe, mainly Spain had the electric going out. They're up to something, which means they know something's happening in the spirit world. That being the case, you need to know what's happening in the spirit world, and you need to accept Jesus before it's too late. Lord willing, we will see you on the next show.
Thanks again for joining us today for The Last Christian Radio Show. And be sure to tune in every Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday right here and at www.lastchristian.net. Until the trumpet sounds.
Faith-filled inspiration? Tune in to The Last Christian Radio Show. Available on KRRB Revelation Radio 1700 AM in East Texas and internationally syndicated in over 160 countries on revelationradio.net, this powerful program dives into faith, hope, and salvation. Join us every Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday evening at 8:30 p.m. Eastern, 7:30 p.m. Central for life-changing conversations and messages.